Hi there. No, you don't know me. Well, I mean, you did, a long time ago, but it's been a few years since then. Can you help me? Well, after a fashion, I think that maybe we can help each other. And now we start getting into the more pointed questions. What I'm doing in your office is trying to repay a debt. No, I don't have an appointment. No one buzzed me in. That's not how this works. I wouldn't buzz security. Seriously, I wouldn't do that. They won't see me. No. They won't see me because I don't want them to. Careful now. Crazy is a word I have some history with. I take it pretty personally. I was going to make the security guards presently speed walking towards the office door, who were a little pissed off that some corporate shithead called 3 minutes before their break, by the way. Forget the awkward conversation you're about to have. But I really don't like being called crazy. So. What are you talking about, sir? There isn't anyone there. That guy has kind of a funny voice. I guess I shouldn't make fun. He's been self-conscious about it ever since it changed back in seventh grade. I know what that's like. I told you. They don't see me. They don't hear me either. You should probably dismiss them before they remove you from the building. There you go. Bye, guys. They think you have lost your mind. Now we're getting to the really good questions. How I did that is the same way I'm here talking to you, without anybody remembering buzzing me into the building. And it's how not one person remembers telling me where your office was. I can pretty much go where I want, and the only people that see me are the ones I want to. I'm going to paint a picture for you. Once upon a time, way back in high school, can you believe how long it's been? There was a particularly weird girl. This girl was troubled. Day in and day out, she was tormented by 1,000 discordant voices, all horny, or hungry, or worried about their grades, or whatever, and she just couldn't shut them out. Even worse, the girl knew that if she told anybody, they would just say she was crazy. So she kept it all hidden inside. She was quiet, introverted, to the point of being near catatonic. And wow, did she get bullied for it. She was busy all the time, just trying to filter through all the voices in her head. So when the mean girls and the mean boys started making fun of her, she could barely even respond. They even gave her a name. Loony Lucy. That dredged something up, didn't it? I can see the images in your head. The quiet girl with the hair always hanging in her face and all the abuse she took. That time when Jessica, the queen bee of the mean girls, cornered her along with her dick boyfriend. Now you're remembering getting involved. You didn't even really think about it. You just thought it wasn't cool that the pretty quiet girl was getting ganged up on. Youch! And now you're remembering the beating you got from Jessica's boyfriend for trying to stop it from happening. Wow. That was seriously brutal. But Loony Lucy never forgot that. Things got worse for her before they got better. There was the institution, the attempts to fix her with therapy, drugs, electric shock treatment. None of it worked, of course. But the isolation, the removal from society, that gave her the time and the quiet she needed to understand that the voices weren't coming from inside her, but from everybody else. And from there, she figured out how to shut out the voices she didn't want to hear. And talk back to the ones she did. No, you aren't seeing my lips move, because they're not. Right now, I am speaking directly into your mind. But then, maybe I have been this whole time and just didn't let you realize it. Hell, altering your perceptions is as easy as breathing. For all you know, I'm not even here. I could be in the room with you, blocking out the ability of everyone else to see me. Or I could just be inserting my presence into your mind. You'll never really know. The experience won't be any different just because I decide exactly what you experience. And there's the really big question. I already told you why. Look to your right. No, I'm not over there anymore. Maybe I never was. I'm right here next to you, sitting on your desk in my little red dress with my legs spread wide and eyes that tell you just how much I want you to see me, to experience me. To take in every part of me. Why? Because I owe you. And because I know how you looked at me back then. The naughty thoughts you had. You never asked me out. I was still Loony Lucy after all. But you still thought about all the things you wanted to do to me. Hear that? Do you remember this one? The shy, quiet girl in your room with the radio playing loud enough that your parents wouldn't hear us? Me, stripping, my eyes begging for your approval as I nervously showed myself off to you. Do you think I'm pretty? I wait for the answer, my face begging for the one I hope to hear. My hair was still just a bit scraggly, but I look like I tried to make it up for you. In your fantasy, I mean. I wonder, was your fantasy just a little more complimentary to me? Or did you secretly get off on the power discrepancy of the idea of the cute, low social status girl who really wanted to impress you? I know which it is. I'm in your head, remember? I know you better than you do yourself. Right now, you're guiltily questioning which is true. But I know, and I'm not telling. How many times did you jerk off to this fantasy? That one I don't know. Because it was so many, you don't even remember. But let's not spoil the show. Your answer that yes, I am, creates such a look of joy and relief in my face. Your opinion, your approval means so much to me. It's everything to me. I want to make you feel good, okay? Without another word, I lower myself to my knees and begin undoing your belt. I don't even take your trousers off. I just unzip your fly and pull your cock out. And I'm so happy to see it. So excited by it. I am awkward. An awkward virginal beauty. But of course, I suck dick like a pro. This is a high school fantasy after all. I take your cock in my mouth and in my throat like I've done it 1,000 times. Even though in your fantasy, this is the first time I've even seen one in real life. Things were simple then. Desires were simple then. But your tastes have become a bit more complex now, haven't they? The girl changes sometimes in this one, but I know I make frequent appearances. Like right now, here I am, blindfolded and gagged, my arms and legs chained, pulled out taut to the four corners of a cold metal table. A vibrator placed on my sopping pussy. Am I struggling because I can't control myself with the vibrator implacably pressing against my cunt? Or in this fantasy, do I not want to be here? At this point, as my body betrays me, maybe it's both. After all, I've been here so long. And you keep switching off the vibrator every time I'm about to come. I have to be desperate for release now. Any kind of release. Oh, here I go again. Writhing, moaning, bucking as much as the chains allow to just get it pressed a little more against my clit. In hopes that this will be the time. This time. Yes, this time. You mean I want it so badly now? To come? Like if I don't, something in me will break. But if I do, when it happens, I feel like I might die. The need has been there so long. It's all that I am now. And I don't know what I could possibly be after. That's when you yank the tear-soaked blindfold off, revealing the smeared makeup and bleary eyes struggling with the light. And an instant later, you drive yourself into me. You fuck me hard and fast from the start. Fuck, you pound into me like you don't even care if I come. Fuck, but I do. Again. Oh, fuck, and again. As you savage my pussy with your punishing thrusts, you growl names into my ear like cunt and slut and whore. And I just can continue to climax as my pussy milks your cock, as it squeezes its way through climax after climax after climax. Oh, you use me until... Let's put that one on hold for a bit. There are other kinds of fantasies, aren't there? After all, power discrepancies can go both ways, with exciting results, can't they? You don't like that you have this one. It makes you question your masculinity, makes you feel like you're somehow less of a man for having it. But it's in there. Now you're on your knees, with your arms cuffed in leather behind your back. The cuffs are attached by a strap to a ring set into the floor. You couldn't get up even if you wanted to. But you don't want to. I show up in this one sometimes, don't I? Not as often, although I do from time to time. Like right now. I have a feeling that it'll happen more often after today, though. There I am, in leather thigh-high boots, a riding crop dangling by the strap from my gloved wrist, with the casual familiarity of long experience having it there. The leather that I wear covers basically nothing, but why would I need to cover myself in front of you? You look up at me, hungry, desperate. You know better than to say anything. I've taught you better than that. After all, there's a reason the collar around your neck has a tag that says, "Property of Mistress Lucy." I'm not saying anything. But then, I don't need to. You look up at me, not daring to beg, but hoping that I'll pay attention to you. And that hope grows with every step closer that I take. Still, I say nothing as I come to stand before you, looking down at you. Not even as I languidly raise my leg and place it on your shoulder. Not even as I use the cradle of my boot nestled on your shoulder to guide your body forward. It's only after I gently place the crop under your chin and guide your head up so that your lips are inches from my pussy do I finally say, "Lick." And oh, how you do. You press your lips to my pussy and devour me like a starving man in the desert that has just been offered the most perfect, succulent peach. Oh, you lick and suck. The little sounds of pleasure I emit are the greatest reward you could ever hope for. You live for those sounds, for my pleasure, and each little moan is proof that you are fulfilling your purpose. The sounds that I make gradually rise in pitch and passion, and I grab a handful of your hair, both to steady myself and guide your tongue precisely where I want it. Oh, I pull your hair harder and harder, forcing your mouth against me, so hard that you almost can't breathe. But you don't care. If you were to suffocate in me, drown in me, that would be okay. That would be right, giving yourself over to my pleasure completely. And finally, I orgasm. You feel my hips buck and shiver against your face. And finally, once I am still, I release your head and lift my foot from your shoulder. And then looking down into your eyes as you pant, I say, so very softly, good boy. Almost lazily, I crouch down in front of you, and after an assessing glance, push the tip of my crop against your chest until you thump back on your bottom, granting some merciful slack on your arms. I guide your legs apart with the crop, swatting your thigh. Not hard, but enough to remind you of the pain I could show you when you don't move quite as quickly as I would like. I look down at your achingly hard cock, and I smile, and I say, for that performance, I think my good boy deserves a special treat. Your heart flutters in the moment between seeing my hand move towards your cock and the feeling of the soft glove enfolding you, stroking you. You did such a good job pleasing mistress. I think you've earned this. I lean forward as I stroke you, smiling as I run my hand up and down your cock. The moment of confusion you feel passes, and you understand. I'm going to let you come on my breasts this time. The excitement of it rushes through you so powerfully that you almost come right then. But you try and resist. Try to prolong this bliss. My smile turning sly, I say, no, don't hold back. You can't hold back from me. It's almost like I can read your mind. You get closer and closer. The thrill of me wanting your cum to touch me, to feel it on my body, unendurable. That's it, my good boy. That's it. You're so close. You couldn't stop now if you wanted to. You thrust your hips against my pumping hand. It's too much. It's too much, and you're going to... The telephone. Look at me. That's right. We're here. Right here in your office. We never left. Oh, you're shaking. I imagine you're pretty worked up. I don't actually have to imagine, I know you are. I don't have to seduce you. I'm in your head, remember? I can adjust your sensations however I want. With a thought, I could have you exploding in your pants right now. Your eyes rolling back, babbling incoherently, after having come harder than you ever have in your life. I could ruin you forever. I could give you such pleasure, making sex seem so bland and pedestrian. But that just isn't nearly as much fun. Instead, I'm here, on the edge of your desk, in my little red dress, my legs spread wide and invitingly, just for you. Because I want you. I want you to fuck me. To really fuck me. Don't worry about the noise or about anyone coming in. I won't let them hear, and they'll forget they ever wanted to see you. We could go fuck right in the middle of the office cubicle, Paul, and no one would notice if I didn't want them to. But I don't want you distracted. I want all of your attention. Oh, so wild. You can't wait to undress, can you? And that's not even my doing. Not directly. I showed you your fantasies, and you lived them. But I didn't make you this uncontrollably hungry for me like I could have. Oh, yes. There go the hands. I've always wanted to really feel these hands. Oh, and that mouth. Don't wait, baby. Don't wait. I'm ready for you. Just pull my dress up and... Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, yes. Fuck me hard. That's what I want. To feel how you can't get enough of me. To hear your breath quicken at the feeling of my tight little pussy around your throbbing cock. Oh, fuck. No more thoughts. Oh, yes. No more fantasies. Oh, just you and me rotting like animals. Yes, don't hold back. Hold nothing back. Let me thrill your feel your thrust, feel your lust for me in every wild thrust of your hips. Oh, fuck. You can't lust, but neither can I. Oh, I'm so ready. I want it. Oh, come. Come inside of me. Oh, let me feel you come. Oh, please enjoy me. Show me that you like it. Show me that I'm what you want. Show me that it's me. Show me that it's me. That's it. Let it out. Good boys. Let it out for mistress. You can do it right here on mistress's tits because you were such a good boy. Oh, please. God, I needed that. I think, yes, you are definitely a keeper. What do I mean? Oh, just what it sounds like, baby. I intend to keep you. No, you can't see me, or anything else for that matter. You don't really need to. Another fun trick I can do is control your body, like a puppet. So if, for example, I wanted you to walk right out of your office to an undisclosed location and just lay down until I want you, I could do that. And that might be what's happening. Maybe I'm done for right now, and you're just lying on the floor of an apartment somewhere, staring stupidly at the ceiling. Until I get bored enough, or horny enough, to use you again. And when the missing person inquiries start rolling out, everybody in the office will just say they saw you walk out to what they figured was just a late lunch. The security guards will eagerly tell the cops how weird you were acting just before you left, and the case will change to one about mental breakdown. And will eventually be closed. They'll figure you'll probably turn up somewhere in the end, mumbling and deranged. Then they'll deal with you then. But in reality, you'll be my handy little slave fuck toy, waiting in a stupor for when it's time to get used again. Or maybe the complete ass-kicking you received from Jessica's boyfriend trying to defend me hurt you a lot more than you remember. You might have been withering away in a coma for years, and the so-called life you've been living has all been a fantasy to cope, and you've finally gone off the deep end, so it's getting weird. It would certainly explain why I'm in so many of your fantasies, and why, years later, I'm at the centre of your delusions. Come to that, who needs a coma to go nuts? I mean, I didn't. If you believe that part. Maybe one day stress at work just caused you to snap. Now you're falling into a blissful state of mad hallucination, medicated and drooling in a facility somewhere. Or maybe this is all just a really, really vivid dream. And any moment now, your alarm is going to go off, and all this will just fade away as you try and fail to hold on to it, the way weird dreams often do. Any minute now. After all, reality is what you make of it.
Or what I do.